I want to just share a couple of critical thoughts about the way that animism and closely related ways of thinking seem to be presently being infused with projects and intentions that are not aligned, I think, with the foundation and the objective of thinking in animist and relational ways. There's sometimes see this happening when a perspective and a way of thinking and talking about things gains a certain level of traction. For instance, it starts to become popular, it starts to become move closer to normativity. Then you also see that all kinds of different intentions and projects move in on those languages, move in on those ways of thinking in ways that are not necessarily beneficial in relation to the original intention and objective of these ways of thinking. We've seen it a little bit with wokeness, or that way of thinking and speaking that has sometimes been labeled wokeness. At the outset, extremely beautiful way of striving, you know, unambiguously to and uncompromisingly to attain equity between people in so many different ways and allow humanity its full range of existence and presence in various ways and modes of culture and sexuality and physicality and everything, and an incredibly positive trend in our world and which has had these very positive effects, no question about it, but which also seems to be often sort of hacked by people for whom it seems to be a way of just putting down other people. It seems to be a way of portraying your own moral superiority in judgmental ways. It seems to be very narcissist. It seems to be running in highly identitarian ways that are not conducive to kind human relation, I think. Yeah, it's just another example. But yeah, I think with animism and relational worldviews, I think we're seeing something at the moment where specific ways of thinking are becoming kind of moving in there in ways that I am suspicious of. And let me just say that I'm suspicious of it, but I haven't studied it. This is like thoughts I'm having when I'm sitting in my car here one Friday afternoon, and I'm not. This is not something that I've studied, and it's possible that somebody seeing this will be consistently making the point that I'm just a grumpy old man, and that there are vital parts that I've overlooked, and so please edify me if that's the case. I'm going to talk about two present phenomenon that I'm seeing in online spaces. One is the idea of climate grief. The other is the idea of regenerative leadership. So, climate grief. I'm seeing it a lot, like people having circles where they are, you know, sharing their climate grief with each other and supporting each other in coping with climate grief and these kind of things. And, you know, from one perspective, I think, you know, it's cool, you know, that people are helping each other feel a little bit better. Obviously, however, whenever I see this coinage, climate grief, I just think, so is that what we need? Like, we all have climate despair. We all had climate despair about the situation of the world, where we have political leadership that is absolutely incapable or unwilling to even start addressing the fact that the world is plunging into an apocalyptic omnicide that no human has ever witnessed before. They seem to just like not be dealing with it. Worst case scenario, they're actually accelerating the problem while promising each other that they're going to comply with blah 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 agreement from blah 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 place in the world. And of course we are all in despair about that. I would just question if grief is the way to culturally manifest that despair. Grief, it seems to me, is emotional model and a cultural model that we employ when we have lost something. We have lost a lot, but grief is employed at the end of that loss, and it seems to imply that there's nothing left to fight for. There is. I think there is a resignation in just saying, oh, the fight is over, you know, I can sit down in my circle and we can talk about my grief with each other, you know. Shouldn't we consider challenging climate despair in different directions, like anger, for instance? I always think about the scene in the TV series version of Neil Gaiman's novel American Gods, where the trickster Anansi speaks to a group of enslaved West Africans, telling them, anger gets shit done. You know? I don't think grief gets shit done. You know? And I also, so that's one point. Let's consider if perhaps we don't have better cultural models than, you know, sitting in circles and feeling sorry for ourselves and each other about the climate grief. And also, like, is this not a little bit of a, like, part of this narcissist trend of our time? Everything is about me. Everything is about me and my hurt and my interior life and how sorry I feel for myself and how sorry you should feel for me. And, like, fuck you. We shouldn't feel sorry for you. We should feel sorry for the species that are being eradicated and the Palestinian children that are being murdered. And there are a lot of elements in this world that are hurting. If you are a privileged global northerner, then you're not hurting. We should not, why should we spend resources worrying about your well-being? It is the exactly opposite that is the point. It is your well-being that's the problem. Your extreme being inscribed in this predatory consumer system in which we basically bath ourselves in obscene wealth day in and day out, and the system that produces our well-being, that is the problem. And it is our relation to those others. The shift needs to change from self to other. We shouldn't feel sorry for you. Yeah, I also feel despair. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm a super privileged global northerner, you know? And so, please let us consider what this climate grief thing does. Cool, regenerative leadership. All right, so that's also a big thing that I'm seeing going around, these kind of relational leadership, regenerative leadership, these sort of things. Seemingly leaning on animist thinking and on indigenous knowledge and these kind of things. I'm going to be absolutely frank here, put my cards on the table. I considered it myself for the briefest of moments. I thought, fuck man, you know. The corporate world has all the money, and you know, if they want to hear what I have to say, then why not tell it to them, you know? And then I thought about what I would actually be telling, say, a corporate workshop of CEO leaders from a major company. And first thing I'll be telling them is, okay, right, so leadership style isn't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, you can be an ass or you can be a kind-hearted leader. It doesn't really matter that much. What matters is what your company does in the world. So if you want to be relational or animist or what fucking ever, you need to look at that. And one important central part of that, which any company can look at right away, is ownership. Ownership is the foundation for running an operation, for instance, a business operation. It's it's not something I know a lot about, but I just know that the knowledge is there. Nordic socialism has different models for how to handle ownership in relationally sound ways, where people own the stuff that is being produced in more communal ways, that doesn't create these sort of black holes of ownership that characterize our world, where ownership all over gargantuan value seems to just like implode in these oligarchs that we all know the names of, who owns everything in the world. That would be basically one of the first things I would say. And then the next thing would be, well, I don't know a lot about it, go talk to somebody else. Change the ownership model. Who owns what? What is shared between which actors and how? That is the foundation of a relational way of thinking. Not that of course you should be kind and speak to your employees in a nice way, but if your company is doing extraction of the mineral coltan in the Congo, keeping up a atrocious civil war in order for us to have very cheap mobile devices, then it doesn't matter at all that you are speaking nicely to your employees. Maybe it does matter a teeny tiny bit, but the point is, stop fucking coltan mining in the Congo, and let's accept that one of these devices here perhaps is going to cost 8 times as much. Fuck that. If the war in the Congo can stop, and all the atrocities in Congo will stop because of that, then that would be a relational way of thinking, and that is not going to happen on the conditions of a competitive capitalism. Just not. The evil ass motherfuckers are gonna that have the most predatory models for how to run business will win, and in implementing a relational way of thinking in the business world should start with reforming ownership. And that actually does work. Like, maybe I was a little bit too harsh now. I said that the evil ass predatory dudes will win. No, they don't. Well, actually, won't necessarily win. Models like, for instance, the Nordic socialist ownership models, like the co-op model, and so on. They work, and they have, they've defined Nordic societies for 100 years. Created societies of a significant level of equality and happiness, according to a lot of parameters. But these models are there. They can be used, but it is not something that you can learn in by hiring a consultant once a year for doing a workshop weekend in regenerative leadership or something like that. That's bullshit. Unless you can convince me that it isn't. So, I'd like to hear if somebody has different points of view on this. See you around.